This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We have now a story about cranberries. No, not how to make your own cranberry relish. That's a whole different public radio show. We're going to talk about the business of cranberries, which is, honestly, a more delicate business than you might have thought, and which explains why, like a lot of farmers out there, cranberry growers are worried about a warming planet. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
Before we start, can we all just agree that cranberries are an acquired taste?
Okay, that's really tart. Wow.
Did you get a dark one?
I should take a darker one? Is that what you're saying?
Dark, light, whatever. They're all bitter, which is why we have those dried cranberries loaded with sugar, craisins. And some of those craisins start right here in a bog not far from Plymouth Bay.
This is the largest bog in the world. There used to be one larger bog than this. It was on Nantucket, but they since put a dike down the middle of it, so this makes this the largest in the world.
That's Glenn Reed, New England Patriots fan, cranberry bog veteran. Reed oversees cranberry operations for a company called AD Makepeace. The founder, Abel Makepeace, started out growing cranberries over 150 years ago. He was known around these parts as the Cranberry King. Today, Makepeace harvests the cranberries by flooding the bogs, then sending in machines that act sort of like giant egg beaters. They stir up the water so the cranberries pop off the vines. Then workers wade into the water nearly waist high, corral the cranberries with floating booms, and hand rake them into pumps that suck the berries right into trucks.
Not only are they working during the day harvesting, but we're going to have a frost tonight. So that means most of my guys are going to be out tonight turning on pumps to protect the berries that haven't been picked yet.
Reed says harvesting cranberries has always been hard work, but nowadays, growing them is even tougher.
The berries actually need cold nights to color up. Last year, we had a big problem with coloring up the berries.
What did it look like out there, more white than
red? A lot more white berries, oh yeah.
This year, Reed says the warmer winter tricked the cranberries into budding early, so they had to scramble to protect them from frequent night frosts in March and April. Makepeace's CEO, Michael Hogan, says for now, cranberries are still a viable crop in Massachusetts. But
we're having warmer springs. We're having higher incidence of pests and fungus. Warmer falls when we need to have cooler nights. And we also have pressure about water.
More water for irrigating in the hotter summers, and more in spring and fall for frost protection. More fuel to run the irrigation pumps, more technology to monitor the bogs more closely, more fungicides, and more fruit rot.
And because of the percentage of rot that was delivered to Ocean Spray, they paid us $2 a barrel less. We delivered 370,000 barrels last year. So you're talking about millions of dollars.
Hogan won't talk global warming, but it's clear he and his company are planning for a changing climate. They're investigating more heat-tolerant cranberry varieties. They're consulting with climate specialists like Eric Wahlberg at the Manamet Center for Conservation Sciences near Cape Cod.
Certainly, Makepeace is a bit unique in that they've got a very well-trained staff because of the size of the company. They're able to afford that, and they are actively engaged with Manamet on the question of climate change.
But Wahlberg says farmers all over the country are responding to the changing climate, whether they embrace climate science or not. Makepeace may just be thinking more long-term. In fact, it's already checked out chillier climes like eastern Canada. Ocean Spray has already started growing cranberries in New Brunswick. Hogan's even considering Chile.
They have the appropriate number of degree days for growing, and then they have the cool evenings leading up to the harvest period that give the cranberry the colors that they need.
So, a New England company growing a North American berry in South America?
We're never going to walk away from our core holdings here. It's our roots, it's our heritage. But part of our challenge is to diversify so that we're here for another couple of generations. That will require us to look beyond the boundaries of Plymouth County.
People here can't imagine a time when they won't be growing cranberries. I asked the head of the Cape Cod Cranberry Association, what about 50 years from now? His tart reply, well, I don't think we'll be growing tropical oranges. In Plymouth County, Massachusetts, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.